Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, this is Richard Cohn. I'm the host of the Beyond Words radio show, and I'm very pleased today that we have as our guest Dr. Sherrod Paul. Sherrod is a doctor and a professor, and he's the author of several notable nonfiction books for mainstream audiences in the field of skin, medicine, and genomics. And some of the titles are Skin, A Biography, The Genetics of Health, which Beyond Words published with Atria Books a few years ago. And now Dr. Paul's newest book, The Biohacking Your Genes. He is a sort of Renaissance man. He can write poetry, literary fiction. Time magazine called him an open-heart surgeon, and the New Zealand Medical Association noted that he has been described as one of the most inspiring, intelligent, and compassionate men you are likely to meet. In 2015, at APAC, which is Asia Pacific's largest health conference, he received the Ko Awatea International Excellence Award for leading health improvement on a global scale and for fostering patient-centered medicine across several countries. If you would like to read and learn more about Dr. Sherrod Paul, you can go to his website, and it's drsherrodpaul.com, and it's drsharadpaul. Sherrod, it's wonderful to be with you today, and you're calling in all the way from New Zealand?
Yes, and thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. I've really enjoyed your new book, Biohacking Your Genes, 25 Laws for a Smarter, Healthier, and Longer Life. What prompted you to decide to do this book?
I think it's basically over my career in medicine. Increasingly, I find that people take less action themselves and take charge of their health less and less, and they're more reliant on medications or pharmaceuticals or other advice. So I think sometimes I've often said that medicine and law are similar in that law isn't always justice, just like medicine isn't always health. And to make it healthy, we need to take some personal responsibility. So I think the book was more about day-to-day things that we can do, which actually have a big impact on various bodily systems and our mood and general health and well-being. But which are simple things we can action in our diet and lifestyles, which can actually make a bigger difference sometimes than just popping a pill.
And as a major world leader, world-leading doctor, you've been practicing medicine and doing your research for over 25 years. Would you share with our audience some of the most important principles you've gained throughout your career?
I think, like, the first one was, you know, what I said just now, that, you know, medicine is not always health unless you take personal responsibility. I think the other important things that at any stage you can actually start taking action and make improvements. And medicine works on an illness model. So literally you go to a doctor because you're ill and you're seeking treatment. So you shouldn't seek to go there purely for good health, but to just treat illness. The other thing is we underestimate the power of what we can do in our own genes and how we can biohack them, which is what this book is about, which are small actionable steps. And I guess the other thing is every disease is about, you know, nature and nurture. So part of it is genes that you inherit, and part of it is that the genes you can modify by your lifestyle. And I think even if you are blueprint, genetic blueprint, had some negative features, like I always like to say, genes are your blueprint, but they're not your destiny. And I think whatever habits you have, great health is within your reach. Even sometimes it doesn't seem so at the moment, but people can really, like we're in the beginning of the year, it's probably a good time for people to look at their health and well-being goals for the year and see what they want to do.
Do you have any recommendations for people as they, you know, as we've now entered this new year, 2025, and I know a lot of people, and myself included, I make plans for myself from a health standpoint, and as I'm starting the new year, do you have any suggestions for people of ways that they can take charge of their lives in this beginning of the new year?
I think the three simplest steps, obviously in the book, we just discussed, there are actually details from a point of view of specific diets for specific things. Like if somebody wanted to reduce the risk of dementia or Alzheimer's, there are certain diets which can reduce your risk by up to 50%. So there's actually quite a lot in the book. But as broad principles, I think what we see that people don't do enough, people don't move enough, like move for the sake of movement, like, you know, dancing or running or playing racket sports. So the key thing is importance of movement. People don't move enough, and then people actually consume too much sugar and too much processed foods. And last thing is the importance or the power of positivity. I think in all these difficult and divided times, it's often easier to get a bit negative, but being positive and always looking on the bright side sounds very simple, but it actually does have a big impact on your health.
That's very, very good advice. I know for a lot of people, particularly where we may be working at a desk all day or sitting for the better part of the work day, being able to, would you say, like to take a break every hour, just to get up and move a little bit and maybe stretch and do something that allows the body to have that feeling of movement.
And one of the important things with movement also is it's movement for movement's sake. So it's like practiced movement. So you're doing it for the sake of it, not just because you have to go from A to B. And also, we know that movement helps, especially if there's leg movement. And also if you're holding on to something, like if you're carrying something at the time. So we know that, you know, the brain evolve for movement, and the three types of movement we know are locomotion, which is us walking, balance, and grasping, which is like infants do, which is the most primitive reflex. And if all these three are activated, then we find that those movements are the most useful. So if you're walking, walk different paths so that you are, your brain is active and then having to. Or if you are dancing, you know, free-form dances like the tango, for example, better than others. So that's the kind of thing that importance is movement for the sake of movement, and it's being intentional about it. And I think in some ways that actually extends to what we were just talking about, positivity, again, as if meditation and all those things. Again, one needs to be intentional. Same with gratitude, being grateful for the things in our life. It's good to be intentional and specific about it.
Do you have your own personal practice in the morning when you get up? Do you do a gratitude exercise or specific movements?
I think for me, I start very early, and most of the day I'm in an operating room, so it's actually really important to try and stretch every day, because otherwise you get quite stiff, and because you're operating in a relatively unnatural position. And what I do is I run a bit, so maybe about twice a week or so I would run maybe about 10 kilometers, something like that. And also other days, I would always, if I calculate what I'm walking every day, I would at least get, you know, 5 to 7 kilometers in every day. And I think so that's one thing. So the key thing, I try and be more intentional about making sure I stretch and, you know, do some body weight exercises and stretches even when you are at work, just so that you are always keeping yourself supple. But I think for the key thing we know is being intentional about it. So I think for people who feel they don't have time, even if they took away, even if they did it twice a week or something like that, but actually set aside time, that actually makes a big difference. The other way, of course, is like what you said, the importance of stretching and flexibility is so important that you can, several times a day, if you want, you can actually take time out to do that yourself. And you can simply have things like, you know, you can have things you can hang from, you can use exercise bands, you can simply just use your own body weight and, you know, yoga or tai chi or things like that. So I think, yeah, I think the key thing is just being intentional so that you actually think about it, so that it becomes a part of your life. And the gratitude thing you raised, yeah, very much so. I think in running a medical practice, you're dealing with all sorts of patients, you know, and I think the key thing I often say to my staff is sometimes the staff, especially at the front end or in reception, you know, receive a bit of flack, largely because when people are ill, they're sometimes frustrated and they've waited for a bit to see you, and so they're a bit, you know, maybe anxious when they come in, and so they may not be at their most pleasant always, but when they leave, they are. But what I always say to staff is people travel a long way to come and see us, so we always must be grateful for it and have the gratitude, because ultimately they are your business. And I think it's the same thing with anything. You know, you're a publisher, and I think it's the same with gratitude to your staff, gratitude to authors, because that's what make you, right? And I think, you know, sometimes we are not specifically more intentional about it. And what I think is, so if you're thanking somebody, in my view, always better to say, you know, thank you for this, a particular action that you did, as opposed to a generic one. A small step like that, in my view, goes a long way.
I totally agree with you. I had a moment before the Christmas holidays where a customer had ordered a group of books that had been done by Rhonda Byrne, The Secret and the new manifestation, the Secret Manifestation card deck. And I sent them by U.S. Post, so that he would have them before Christmas. And for some reason, out of all the shipments that day that we took to the post office, this man's package was not scanned by the post office. So after 3 days of not seeing that his package was going anywhere, I called him and I said, I told him what was going on, and I said, I'm going to send you everything that you ordered, and now I'm going to send it priority mail so that you'll get it in 2 or 3 days. And he was in West Virginia. And I said, so maybe you're going to get two packages from me, but I'll send a call tag to bring the other one back. And he thanked me, and I sent it off. Well, somehow both packages arrived on the same day, and he was so happy that we had gone above and beyond the call of duty, so to speak, to get him that second package. And he wrote us the nicest letter thanking us and how customer service in today's world is not like maybe it used to be, but he was very grateful for what we had done. And I'm sure your patience, what you're instilling in your staff, that goes a long way, because I know when I, on occasion when I have to go to a medical facility, the receptionists are always so busy, and I'm waiting in line to talk to them, and I don't get that sense of gratitude like you just are teaching your people.
Yes, and I think, like you said, the other point you raised about customer service is, again, because, like you mentioned earlier, one of my recognitions awards was for what people call being patient-centered, or in my view, it's just simply being human-centric or people-centric. And I think if you think about all the tech world we've moved into now and how they dominate everything, but what you find in those worlds is you really can't get hold of anyone. So the customer service is terrible, but the companies just basically get away with it because they think and believe, and they've been made almost like too big to fail in the psyche. So, you know, you are often, you sign up for a new, whatever it is, software or whatever, and you need any help. You can never get anybody, right, whom you can talk to, right? And I think so. I think people like providing old-fashioned service. I think that's why it suddenly resonates with people even more, because everywhere else you try to do something, you can't get hold of anyone.
You are correct, and I'm sure most people in our listening audience have experienced that, whether it's trying to contact customer service and for some product or something, or you buy something from a store, and when you open the package to put it together, it's missing some screws, and it just the days of old-fashioned customer service, they don't exist anymore.
That's right.
What, you know, I think everyone would love to know, in your background, what led to your interest in genetics and skin care and general health?
So I think, firstly, when we were speaking about genomics and genes earlier, the interesting things are our human genes or any animal genes or plant genes. They basically just make proteins, right? And the proteins are used in various metabolic processes. So I think my work in skin led to general health, because you can't have bad health and good skin, or good skin and bad health. And it's really because skin is our only universal organ, and it's our only essential organ. So what I mean by that is, if you look at, there are animals which exist without hearts, like starfish, and animals without brains, like sea squirts, but everyone's got skin. And what is interesting is these, through evolutionary processes, the genetic signals and molecular processes are preserved through creatures. So we actually, if you look at human beings, our genes in our bodies are exclusively only 43% in humans. We're only 43% human. The rest of it we share with other creatures. So I think the key thing was understanding these links between where we fit in the scheme of things And the fact that in trying to improve people's skin, you need to first try and also improve people's well-being and health to make a lasting impression. And like I said, the third point I said was skin is our only essential organs. If you stop and think about it, the people without eyesight, hearing, taste and smell, but if you don't have the power of touch on skin effectively, I mean, in reality, you're dead. So skin, in being fortunate in working with skin and researching it, I realized that that's how a lot of things came in, harvesting stem cells, because skin cells are shed constantly and various things. And what we realized is that skin plays such a big, important part, partly because it's an organ we share with every other creature, but and also it's got a lot of these genetic signals which are processed. And more importantly, now we know that there's a skin-gut connection through a microbiome and also a skin-brain connection. And I think all these together means that we can look at our human health and well-being more holistically.
Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com.
Picture this. It's Saturday night, and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good, or become spiritually aware, or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships, all to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it. Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, BeyondWord.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit BeyondWord.com.
Uplifting Talk, HealthyLife.net.
When we talk about skin, and it's the largest organ in our body, and when you were talking about genes, how only 42% are human, I had no idea. But please, if you could elaborate more about this, what are the other genes? Where do they come from? And as the largest organ in the body, skin, how can we take care of our skin in the best way possible?
So I think the first, what I meant by 43% exclusively human is, see, in our body we have bacteria and mites and other things which live on us and feed on us. But, you know, as humans we like to think of everything as ownership, like, rather than, I suppose, being a custodianship. So we actually like to think we own our land, own our house, we own our bodies, right? But in actual fact, bodies evolved over time, and like I said, some genes we inherit, some genes we modify them by our actions. But what it is that, for example, I'll give you one simple example, is we have mites which live on our skin, the Demodex, which cause acne and also diseases like rosacea and things like that when they flare up. And sometimes they flare up because of our diet, like, you know, if there's too much sugar or too much dairy or things like that. But when studies were done and people, say, African Americans in America would be in the U.S. over 300 years, they might still had, you know, the mites for Africa and so on and so forth. We could follow the migration of people, which shows how people came out of Africa, because we could find mites in European skin types with mites for Africa and Europe, and in Asia you could find mites for Africa and Europe and Asia. So what it means is these mites, what's crazy about the whole thing is they're not only in us, but they're actually part of us, or they're actually part of our DNA. So this is quite interesting from the concept of the microbiome. So we know that we have these bacteria microbiome which live on our skin with certain specific bacteria, and we know certain bacteria which live in our gut. And what's interesting is these bacteria are actually meant to be there. They're a normal part of us. So the DNA is embedded in us, and which is why their genes are part of our genes. So when we look at all the genes, when we say the genome, we're looking at all the genes we have in a system, like you're effectively doing a count, like an electrical count. And what you find is that many of our genes are actually genes for other creatures, or we share with other creatures. So, you know, we may have 30% of genes which are exactly the same genes which are in monkeys or other animals or whatever, but the reality is only 43% of those genes are exclusively human, which we have, which others don't have. So a lot of the genes are actually shared, and which is why when we were talking about skin, it's a really universal organ, it's a very primitive organ, even single-cell creatures have an envelope of skin, or a cell membrane, and which is why those molecular processes are actually preserved through species and generations, and which is why it gives us great insight into other health issues.
It's fascinating what you're talking about, because if someone had told me that I had mites all over my body, I'd probably try to wash them off or get rid of them, when in reality they serve a useful function. And the same thing if someone
said... Absolutely,
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and like what I said, so it's so important, this microbiome. What we know now is that if our microbiome is altered, it actually leads to other diseases. So we know that even a lot of, you know, cancers, diseases, you know, autism spectrums, various things. Now there's research comes into the fact that altering the microbiome makes a big difference. So we know that, you know, mood changes, depression, other behaviors, we know that there's a huge impact on changing these mites. Like what you were saying, if you washed off all your mites and your bugs in your system, you actually wouldn't be any healthier.
That's what's amazing. And instead of embracing the mites, I think embracing the mites is probably a good thing for all of us to think about. And the gut bacteria, the importance of that for digestion. And when you were talking about altering genes, I know when I was in school as a young boy, I was thinking that the genes were just there. I got them partially from my inherited from family, and I was going to be not stuck with them, but they were not going to change over my lifetime. and what science has now shown, and what you specialize in, is that our moods, our diet, things can affect those genes and change them. And if you could elaborate a little bit more about that, because I think a lot of people think that genes are not changeable.
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, the fundamental reason, if you look at what a gene is just something which makes proteins which our cells need. And so if we do things which are good for us, which then produce, our body produces beneficial proteins, and if we do things which fundamentally bad for us, for our gene types, so then we end up producing proteins which are not good for us. So like I say in my book, we actually, through a lab, we can run some tests where people, you know, is coffee good for you, or, you know, certain things, is dairy good for you or not. And so simple things like that even make a difference, because you simply may be eating a diet which is not suited for your gene type. But on the other hand, like what we were talking earlier when you talked about embracing bugs, obviously, yes, we do also have harmful bacteria. But that's because sometimes there's an alteration, either we picked it up from somebody or somewhere else, or there's an alteration in our system, what we call dysbiosis, which again can happen because of, you know, diet, lifestyle, various things. And also, you know, our obsession with being sometimes too clean, right? So if you look at Western countries, we have a lot more allergies and autoimmune things compared to in places like the tropics. And it's because our places have become too sterile and too sanitized. We don't feel the earth below our feet enough. We don't pick up things off the floor. You know what I mean? We've become too clean and sterile, and it actually affects. We weren't meant to be like that, because we were meant to have a symbiotic relationship between our environment and us.
That makes total sense. I know if I drop some food on the floor, I was always told, don't eat that. and there are reasons maybe not to eat that, but we're going to be coming up on a little break right now. But when we come back, I'd like to explore a little bit more about how diet can affect us.
Yes, that's a very important topic, yes.
Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships, all to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at beyondword.com, amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it.
Picture this. It's Saturday night and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit beyondword.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, BeyondWord.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal, so visit beyondword.com. Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. beyondword.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
We're talking with Dr. Sharad Paul, who's the author of Biohacking Your Genes, and Genetics of Health and other books. And if you're just joining us, we were just about to talk about the effect of diet and how it can have a very positive, in some cases negative, effect on our genes and our health. Sharad, would you like to talk a little more about diet with our listening audience?
Yeah, I think one of the, when I was researching for the book or even previous books, I think one of the most important things which struck me was how important our diets, obviously it makes sense, like, you know, Hippocrates all those years ago said, let food be thy medicine, because they didn't have pharmaceuticals then. But I think, so a big part of it is the impact it can make. So there was a study and a diet pioneered from Rush University in Chicago years ago by the late Dr. Martha Claire Morris. It was called the MIND diet. And actually, what they found, even simple things like in studies, they found that if people who ate green leafy vegetables six times a week, effect over time made their brains 11 years younger, for example. And then they noticed things in other studies where different berries, for example, had different functions. So, for example, blueberries have the most positive effect on brain function. But if you looked at what's the best berry for motor function, like movement, then strawberries. So it's quite interesting that in the diet there were such subtle variations. But the thing which really, I think, which is in the first chapter of my book, I think, is what we call the MIND dash diet, which is actually a diet shown to reduce your risk of dementia by up to 50%. So I thought that's, you know, a dramatic figure. And so, you know, simple things in that would be, I've given it like an A, B, C, D thing there, and A is avoiding certain foods, especially high sugars. And so we know that a study done shows for every 60 grams of sugar you eat, you actually drop 0.4 points in a mini mental state exam. And so it was actually specifically for number of amount of sugar you ate, you reduced your brain function. Then blueberries, like I just mentioned, are literally a superfood. Both in children, within 2 hours of eating, equivalent of 240 grams, or that's like a cup and a bit of fresh blueberries, improved memory, attention span, reading, even in older people. And then the other thing in B would be beans, particularly. Also beans, lentils, soybeans are helpful. But there's a caveat. Tofu isn't, so it's quite interesting. General soybeans are. And then I guess if you eat meat and you're looking at the C's for chicken and poultry, just like chicken soup for the soul, as we said, there is actually shown benefits of, you know, chicken soups and essences of chicken. And D stands for dairy, because particularly avoiding dairy is actually, unfortunately, better for the species, because if you think about it, dairy intake only came up during times of famine historically. Ancient man didn't drink any milk, and it's unnatural for a human or any species to drink milk of another animal. So unfortunately, some people may tolerate it okay from because of their genetic type, but generally as adults, having more dairy is actually not particularly good for you. And then E is for, of course, everything green is particularly very good for your brain function, which is, you know, green leafy vegetables, lettuce, spinach, mustard greens, and then other, you know, broccoli, your Brussels sprouts, kale, and all those kind of stuff. And they were, the study done in Chicago, which was the Chicago Health and Aging Project, and they looked at Alzheimer's disease specifically, and when they looked at vegetable intake, they found that the top 20% vegetable eaters actually had a 35% reduction in the rate of cognitive decline with age. So they actually, the brain function got preserved a lot more. And what was interesting is when they did a study with fruit and vegetables versus vegetables alone, it was only the vegetable group which showed a big improvement. So because I think sometimes a little bit of it, especially in sweet fruits, it gets a bit canceled out, the benefits. And then, of course, F is for fish, and the MIND diet recommends that you eat fish at least once a week, and it's best the oily fish, like, you know, salmon and cod and tuna and all the kind of stuff, which, and particularly we know salmon and cod also are high in vitamin D. And in fact, there is also, as an aside, plenty of evidence now that low vitamin D levels are also implicated in people getting more attention deficit and autism spectrum kind of disease is getting worse. So in parts of America, a study is done when people not spending enough time in the sun because of, you know, pure, less sunny parts have a higher rate of it. And studies in developing countries like China with urbanization, we show that in the last 30 years, there's been a 600% increase in rate of, you know, autism. And so, as you know, as we were talking about tech earlier, we're not spending enough time outside, not enough time in the sunshine. So there are lots of things which are worsening mental health and brain function. And then there was just a recent study, a recent memo put out by the U.S. Surgeon General about risk of alcohol and poor health and cancers. And it's interesting from a brain point of view, it's important to have alcohol-free days, but what they found in this MIND study particularly is a glass of wine, but not more than one, maybe three or four times a week, as long as you had some days free of it, was actually beneficial. And the we do know from studies that red is better than white because white wine has acetaldehyde, which has some harmful effects, whereas the red, the dark grape is beneficial. But if you're drinking more than one glass every day, like the U.S. Surgeon General recently said, it does increase your risk of other things. And then HIV is like whole grains, which is a play on words, things like, you know, your oatmeals, quinoas, all that kind of stuff, particularly also good. And the last thing is including nuts, particularly the best of the nuts are walnuts because they have higher omega-3 as well as they have more essential oils which are beneficial compared to the others. Almonds and things are good generally for health, but they're not shown specific benefits on cognition, on brain function, unlike walnuts. But overall, eating more nuts is also beneficial. And finally, I think the other food is olive oil. Certainly compared to oils, one can't stress the benefits of olive oil enough because particularly mono unsaturated oil like that compared to eating saturated fat. So I think in the gist, that would be your MIND diet, which actually, if you followed, it's been shown in several studies to halve your risk of developing dementia or reducing your risk significantly.
And the mind diet for our listeners' benefit, that's in your book, and it's something that I think just if someone got nothing out of the book other than the mind diet, it would be a really wonderful gift to oneself and to one's family to be able to use that.
I agree, and I've sort of spelled it out in detail in the book, and I think that's, that was one of the biggest things that struck me as the degree of impact it had. Unbelievable, like you would expect, like what you said, even though I'm a doctor and I've researched this area, you would sort of still think, oh, well, you know, you're born with certain genes, you can only make certain percentage of difference, but these results are astounding. It's like 50%.
That is wonderful.
Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com. Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships, all to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it.
Picture this. It's Saturday night, and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, BeyondWord.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit BeyondWord.com.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Sherrod, the title of your book, Biohacking Your Genes, what does it mean to biohack our genes, and how does this influence our overall health and well-being?
So biohacking purely means taking steps to modify your genes. And like I said earlier, genes just make proteins. So in other words, you're trying to modify your genes to produce more helpful proteins. So better things happen to your body and it improves your performance. Now, biohacking is used, plenty of people use it differently. Like some people use it more in a, I guess, in a pharmaceutical way of trying to say what drugs you can take to improve or reduce risks of certain illnesses. But this is actually more from a point of view of what you can do yourself at home with your diet and lifestyle to biohack your genes, or ultimately it's all about optimizing your performance. So I think at a simple level, what I would say is this is about living your best life, and I'm a big believer in health span more than lifespan. Like when I've been to the U.S. and I've been to places where people are very interested in longevity, I'm actually astounded, like especially in the tech industry area, like people are very elitist and selfish in our human way of thinking. There is that people try to live longer themselves at the expense of other people. And what I think is interesting is from what I said earlier is we're all interconnected, us, our environment, our microbes, our organisms on us. And so I think it's more important to have a health span. So while you are here on this planet, that you are capable of living your best, happiest, and healthiest life. And I think that's what my version of biohacking is about, is enabling you by your diet and lifestyle to be at your best peak performance. And if you wanted to take the next step up in my book, obviously there are links to where you can order your own gene test, where you can then find what foods are best for you and what types of exercise and various things, what type of supplements. So that sort of helps you fine-tune it to the next level. But even if you didn't want to do that at a fundamental basic level, just the tips in the book. So that's one of the reasons I go system by system, like we just discussed, the mind diet. So there are other diets which help with your, you know, sports kind of performance. There are other diets which help with different bodily systems. So we divided the book into, you know, the mind genes, vitamin D, and the various folic acids. So we've gone into different systems and different things which done to the body by biohacking with specific purpose in mind. But overall, it's all about wellness, but most importantly, taking charge of your own health so that you are in charge of your own body and your life.
That is wonderful advice, I think, for anyone to be able to take charge of their own life. And with your book, for those who want to get Dr. Paul's new book, Biohacking Your Genes, it's going to be available worldwide and it can be ordered from Beyond Words Publishing or Amazon or your local bookstore. The importance, as you've said, of diet and lifestyle and living your best life. And I think I really enjoyed when you were talking about health span versus lifespan, because as you said, there are people who are just trying to live as long as it's possible to live, and in many cases, it's at the expense of their own individual health. When you were talking earlier about optimism, I really wanted just to touch on that a little bit about optimism and how it affects and impacts longevity.
Yeah, I think including, you know, what we found interesting in studies, we discussed skin earlier and how skin actually helps us look at everything else simply because it's our own universal organ. So if you looked at a couple of interesting studies, there were in skin biopsies, for example, like, you know, in dermatological, in the field of dermatology, we often take biopsies of skin to test. And there was a study done in King's College in London about 20 years ago, which actually looked at people whose wounds heal faster and slower. And what they found is slow healers were generally low in optimism when compared to fast healers. So it's quite crazy. Like, so, you know, when we see people and you say, I'm a good healer, the more optimistic you are, we know that you heal your wounds twice as fast. Mm-hmm. And then similar studies in America, there's a large study in women, nearly 100,000 women. They looked at health outcomes generally between optimists and pessimists. And what they found is the optimists not only had 9% to 10% less heart disease, but they were 30% less likely to die from all causes, including from heart disease. So it was like huge. Another study from Holland, again, showed that if you took in each 10 years, optimists far less likely to die from disease compared to pessimists. So, and like you said, you know, the power of being positive is really important. And I think another quick tip I would say, so in the book I've got a mnemonic which helps people, you know, practice this more intentionally. And I think there's a mnemonic I'm using, vigor. And the V is, you know, visualizing your success. So, you know, think of your goals and also, in fact, write them down. It's apparently, it's interesting. Studies have shown that if you think about it and if you use all your systems, both your physical and your mental, it works better. So in other words, if you're thinking of your goal, you think about it, then you write it on a paper, and then you read it. That simple step actually helps you achieve it more than just thinking about it. And then the second thing, I would be increasing your self-awareness and, you know, things like meditation and practice breathing or keeping journals. And the G is gratitude, like we said earlier, being grateful for people in your life, your customers, other people around. And the O is for optimism, but, you know, spending time with people who are positive, much better for your health than people who are negative and you drag you down. And the U is understanding your own negativity. So, for example, it may be as simple as exam anxiety, but if you think, look, everyone else is going through this like me because they're sitting exams, so what's the worst that can happen? Eventually things are going to be fine. And the final thing is reinforcement, is where you reinforce it by using external things. So, for example, if you're feeling down, watch a comedy, buy something for yourself, spend time with people who make you laugh. So all is the power of laughter. So all these kind of things is actually what we call practiced positivity, but it actually helps your health span and thereby your lifespan as well.
Thank you so much. For our listeners, Dr. Sharad Paul's book, Biohacking Your Genes, is a wealth of information and studies, and as he has just shared, provides literally everything one would need to know to have a healthy health span and a wonderful life. Thank you, Sharad, for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Richard. Have a good day.